Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Isaiah chapter 9, and we are on week 2 of our series, God's Presence. God's Presence. How many know that God is here and He is able? Aren't you glad for that? You know, the prophecy Isaiah that we're looking at here, this month of December, he's going to be giving the different names that are ascribed to the Son, to Jesus that is being born. And each of these names is descriptive of who Jesus is, of what he was like. And some of you here, this might be your very first time with us. Maybe it's your first time in church or your first time in a long time. Maybe you just don't go to church that much except during the holidays. We want you to know that you're welcome here. And our prayer is that today you will experience God in such a way, you'll realize that He is so incredible, so wonderful, that you would make God more than part of your life, than something you just do during the holidays, but it would be year-round, 365 days a year. Okay, let's get going. Take out your insert from your bulletin this morning. And at the top it says, the presence of Jesus brings God's presence. And we're looking at those presents. Those presents are found in the names presented in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. One we looked at last week was that He is a wonderful counselor. He gives us guidance. He gives us direction. And His guidance is good. It's not bad. It doesn't hurt you. It helps you. And it's also ongoing. It stays with you. Jesus doesn't fall off your windshield like a GPS and cause you to get into an accident. Right? We talked about that last week. He is continually there to guide us, to be with us, not just on a Sunday morning, but all throughout the week. Take a look in Isaiah now, Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to take a look at our second gift today. Isaiah said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. This week, we're going to look at the second present, the second name, and that we have a mighty God. It is human nature that we want to be associated with the best. Have you ever seen of kids or maybe heard kids bragging about their dad, about how great their dad is? You ever heard a conversation like that take place? Some of you have. I remember when I was in elementary school, a friend of mine was bragging about how great a football player his dad was, okay? And, you know, as a kid, you don't want to look bad, so I'm not going to be outdone. So, man, you know, I began to talk about the accolades and accomplishments of my dad. I mean, you would have thought he was a Heisman Trophy candidate. There's just one problem with it. My dad never played a lick of football in his life. Never, not one down on the field. I mean, he was not a football player. He was not into athletics, you know. But I so much wanted to be associated with, you know, the biggest, the best, the strongest. And today, that's kind of what we're talking about here, because we look at the mighty God, He is the biggest. He is the best. He is the strongest. And we don't have to make up things about Him, because it is all real. Take a look in your notes. The second present there is that Jesus is our mighty God through whom we have access to power and protection. Through Jesus, the mighty God, we have access to God's power. We have access to God's ability. We have access to God's protection in our life. And power and protection are two things we desperately need. We want to be protected from evil, protected from harm, from things that could destroy us. We want to have power that overcomes anything, power to defeat the schemes of the devil, power to defeat sickness, power to defeat sin, power to do mighty things for God's glory, to accomplish His ways and purposes in the earth. When you look at the construction, the phrase mighty God, it's actually better to really see it as the God of might. And that word might or mighty, it means powerful warrior champion. That's in your notes for you. And it comes from the word to prevail. So when we say that he is a mighty God, he is going to be one who prevails, one who triumphs, one who has victory over everyone and everything. When you take a look at how the word might was used in the Bible, many times it was used to refer to soldiers, especially those that were very distinguished in battle. You may have heard of King David. He had kind of an elite fighting force. It was called the Mighty Men. Has anyone ever read that in the Bible? David's Mighty Men. I encourage you this week, maybe get online, go to BibleGateway.com and look up Mighty Men on Bible Gateway and see how many times it appears. And it's all over. David and his mighty men, they were kind of the Navy SEALs of David's army. They were the Green Berets. They were the top of the top. Another way that this word is used is in reference to David and Goliath. Goliath was called the champion of the Philistines. And the word champion there is the same word that talks about mighty God. And so here's the thing, God is our champion. God is our champion. And you think about Goliath, sometimes back in Bible times, instead of the entire army going into war and you'd have thousands of lives lost, each side would pick one person, one champion, and the champions would fight, and whoever won, that won the battle. So you didn't go through a lot of bloodshed, you didn't have a lot of pain, and it was just quick and simple. Whoever won this one-on-one battle, they were the winner. Whoever lost, you have to now serve the other army, the other nation. And so Goliath, who's 9 feet tall, comes out and he's been challenging the Israelites over a month, every day, morning and evening. Come on, come and fight me. Are you chicken? Who are you going to send out? Bring him out. Finally, God sends a teenager with a rock. And a teenager with a rock beats the top warrior of the Philistines. Now, I don't know about you, but getting beat by a teenager in Iraq, you're not that good of a warrior. I mean, that's how powerful our God is. He can defeat a 9-foot giant with a teenager and a stone. That's our God. He can prevail. He is a mighty God. He's a mighty God. God is so powerful that our world today has little idea of how powerful God is. In fact, when you see God portrayed in Hollywood, it's usually portrayed as very weak. I mean, I don't like watching horror shows, but in the horror shows all the time, when it brings a Christian, when it brings a minister of some kind come fighting the power of the demonic, of the satanic in the horror show, it shows God as a wimp and that it makes it look like Satan is all powerful. Friends, that is a distorted picture. God is the champion, and the enemy has no power except what God allows him to have. This morning, we're going to talk about the mighty power of God. The mighty power of God. There's two aspects of God power we're going to look at. Number one in your notes, God is mighty to create. God is mighty to create. We're told by the Apostle John, who was one of Jesus' disciples. John wrote in his gospel, in the very first chapter, the very first verse, this description about Jesus. It says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, this is talking about Jesus, because when you jump down to verse 14, we're not going to look at it, but just write a note in your notes. Verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh." So who became flesh? Which person of the Godhead became flesh? Jesus the Son. So the Word is referring to Jesus. And notice in verse 1, John is saying that Jesus, the Word, is God. Jesus is God. We talked about this last week. The word wonderful shows he was a supernatural wonder. Jesus was God. And Isaiah, in his prophecy calling Jesus mighty God, just reemphasizes that. just so there's no mistake, so that people don't think Jesus was just a human. He was a good man. He was a teacher who walked this planet 2,000 years ago, and he ticked some people off, and the Jewish leaders killed him. No, he was more than a man. He was God. Isaiah says that he's the mighty God. And here John the Apostle says that he is God. Going on, John says, he was in the beginning with God, and look at verse 3. All, how many things? All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So verse 3 tells us that the entire physical universe, all of the stars, the heavens, the galaxies, and everything on the earth, in the earth, everything, Jesus created it all. Everything was made by Jesus. And you think about that, he has creative power. He can design things. He can bring things to life. Jeremiah, in chapter 32, verse 17, the prophet Jeremiah said this. He says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." Jesus made everything on this planet. He made everything outside of this planet. Friends, there is nothing too difficult for God. Nothing. What can you think of that's difficult? It's not too hard for God. God can do anything. And so I want to talk about this morning, what are the things that God creates? If he is the creator, if he makes things, then what does he create? Take a look in your notes. We have a lot of different bullet points there. And the first one, the letter H, the first thing God creates is healing. God creates healing. It is no problem for Jesus to heal. He gave life to everything. Also, since he made everything, he knows how everything operates. So if something's out of whack, he knows what to do to get it back into place. Jesus can give life to eyes, to kidneys, to lungs, to hearts, to blood, to legs, to knees, to backs, to hips, to arms, to ears. Jesus can heal anything. Nothing is too difficult for Christ to heal. He heals of sickness, and he heals of injury. He heals of little tiny diseases or of fatal diseases. There is nothing that is too difficult for Jesus to heal. It says in Exodus chapter 15, Moses wrote in verse 26, "I am the Lord who heals you." Some of you here today may need a physical healing in your body. We're going to pray and believe that God supernaturally touches you and he heals you today. If you need healing, you have a mighty God who heals. A second thing that Jesus creates, the W in your notes, stands for wholeness. Jesus creates wholeness in us. He creates emotional wholeness in people that have been mistreated, rejected, used, or abused. The New Testament word salvation, it actually means wholeness, to make whole. You see, Jesus just didn't come to save us from our sins and get us to heaven and leave us broken. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Psalm 147, verse 3 says, "I have come." He says he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. What wounds are you carrying around today? How have you been hurt in the past? What are the scars? What's the baggage that's just been weighing you down and making life miserable? Friends, Jesus came to heal your broken heart. He came to touch those who are messed up, those that don't have it together. He came to give us salvation, to give us wholeness. If you need wholeness today, we're going to believe that our mighty God will work in the areas of your heart where no one can see. Things that maybe have happened recently or that have happened years ago. And we're believing that God is going to make you whole because nothing is too difficult for him. Next, we see, what does God create? He creates life in people and in relationships. God creates life inside of people and in relationships. Where there's only hatred and bitterness, God can create love and forgiveness and reconciliation. I've seen God do that in me. People I've hated, had no love for. God has turned my heart from the poison that was there, and He's given me life and the ability to forgive and to release them and to love them. I've seen God heal marriages. Couples that were on the verge of divorce, they're ready to split up. They're ready to call it quits, and they come into my office, or I've heard of other pastors, they have it. And God does a supernatural work, sometimes instantaneously. Many times it's a process over weeks and months, but they're willing to let go of their own hatred, willing to let go of their own way, willing to surrender and say, God, I will let you work in my life. And God has brought love where there was no love. Where the passion was gone, where the emotions was gone, there was just numbness, there was nothing. God created love out of nothing. God produces life inside of people so they can love again. He can produce life in relationships that have been separated. And if you need love today, love for someone, maybe you're a couple here, and you're struggling, your marriage is on the rocks, and you really don't want to be here with your spouse, I want you to know, if you're willing, God will create life and healing and wholeness in your marriage today. Because nothing is too difficult for God. Are you catching a theme here? Say it with me. Nothing is too difficult for God. What else does Jesus create? He creates provision. He creates provision. When you have lack, when you have a need in your life, He is our God who supplies all of our need according to His riches in glory. For 40 years, the Israelites traveled the Promised Land. There was 3 million people. They needed food and water for 3 million people for 14,600 days. I don't know about you, but that's a lot of food and water. I mean, and they didn't have Super Walmart back then. You know, they couldn't go to Sam's Club and, get a caseload of eggs and, you know, all this stuff. I mean, God supernaturally provided for them. And if you're here this morning and you need provision, you just need to know one thing. Help me out here. Nothing is too difficult for God. God can provide a job. He can provide finances. He can provide a way out of your situation. What are your needs? God can provide it. The last thing there that we see God creates is He creates opportunities and favor. God creates opportunities and favor. We have a couple of references. In fact, we have a lot of references there in your notes for you to look up this week. And I encourage you, look these references up next to these points. I didn't want to take all the time and look at them, because here's the thing. I believe that as you look up these things of what God creates, as you begin to read these promises of what He will create through His mighty power in your life, it will encourage you. You really need to read your Bible, you know that? Because there's a lot of great stuff in it, and we're just giving you some of the highlights here. So make sure you read those scriptures this week. But those scripture references there talk about Daniel and Joseph. Daniel and three Hebrew teenagers, they were taken from Israel by the king of Babylon, by Nebuchadnezzar. And they're stripped away from their families, their culture, their language, their religion, their God, everything. And as they're there, they are commanded to do something that is sinful, something that is wrong. They're commanded to eat meat and drink wine that have been sacrificed to other gods, and they wouldn't do it. And they're putting their lives on the line to say, no, we're going to stand up for God. We're going to not compromise. And when they do it with the right way, a right attitude, a right heart, God opens up opportunities for them. There's multiple times where they run into problems, they run into situations, but God creates opportunities, God creates favor, and they rise up in the government and become leaders in the government. We see it with Joseph in the Genesis passage there. He's sold into slavery. But even in Potiphar's house in slavery, he is given favor. Then he's lied about and he's thrown in prison. All his favor went down the drain. How many know that happens sometimes? Things are just starting to go good for you, and then it all falls out. You know, the bottom just falls out of everything. But Joseph allowed God to create life and love and forgiveness. He didn't become bitter. He walked through it the right way, and God creates an opportunity to stand before Pharaoh and interpret his dreams, and the result is Joseph is elevated to the second highest position in the land. He is the Pharaoh of Egypt's right-hand man. The right-hand man of a world empire. He was a slave. He was a convict. That is the opportunity and the favor that God created. And maybe you need opportunities in your life. Maybe you need favor in a situation, in a relationship, in a court case, whatever it is. We just heard today someone had a legal matter and God gave them favor and the case was dismissed. God creates opportunities and favor no matter how bad it is. Even if you're a prisoner in Egypt, God can do mighty things because, help me here, nothing is, okay, that was pretty weak, okay? That's maybe 10% of you. Nothing's too difficult for God. Do you believe that this morning? Okay, that's maybe about 20% of you. Do you believe that? Say it together. Nothing. Say it again. Say it again. Say, I believe that nothing is too difficult for God. He creates something out of nothing. And if you're here this morning and you feel you've got nothing, maybe you're feeling numbness towards God, He can create life in you. God can do something if you just open your heart, open your life, and you surrender to Him. Nothing is too difficult for God. There's a second thing that we want to look at about God's power this morning. And that God is mighty in battle. God is mighty in battle. In Psalm 24, verse 8, it says, "Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." Now, you might be wondering here today, Craig, what kind of battles does God fight? I mean, because we don't see Jesus rolling down the street in a Panzer, do we? I mean, we don't see Jesus shooting smart missiles or picking up shotguns and going after. I mean, what kind of battles does Jesus fight? Here's the thing. He fights spiritual battles. There is a battle that constantly goes on around us each and every day. It's a battle we can't see with our human eyes, but it's very real. It's a spiritual battle. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesian Christians about the kind of battle that they need to be prepared for, that they need to be alert and just ready for. Take a look in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through verse 12. This is what Paul wrote to the church. He says, "Finally, brothers, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might." I love it right there. Paul's talking about a mighty God. God that there's nothing too difficult for. And he says, be strong in that power. Be strong in the Lord. He goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles is like schemes, the strategies. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Friends, we are in a spiritual fight. And here's the thing. The devil will do whatever it takes to try to get you and I to turn our backs on God. He doesn't want us to follow Christ. He wants us to lose faith. He wants us to shipwreck our faith so that we spend eternity in hell. He will do whatever it takes. If there is a price that you will pay, then he will give you that price. He'll pay that price to get you away from God because he doesn't want you to serve God. And if you say, there is no price, I'm going to serve God no matter what, then you know what his tactic is? He wants to make you so miserable. He wants to make you feel so discouraged and so defeated that, yeah, you get to heaven, but you're not going to take anyone else with you. He wants you to feel so out of it that you just kind of wander around, moping and groking, trudging through life, not being a mighty warrior, a champion through Jesus Christ, not being strong and mighty, not being prepared for battle, not having the armor of God on, not having the helmet of salvation that guards the thoughts of your mind, not having shoes of peace that wherever you go, you bring the gospel of peace and you make peace with others, having a breastplate of righteousness that protects your heart so that you are righteous and you don't let any sin compromise your life. He wants you to compromise integrity and not wear it around your emotions with the belt of truth. He doesn't want you to carry the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. The devil wants you to be a wimpy Christian, not a warrior Christian, not a Christian that can defeat the devil's plans in other people's lives, because the devil wants to take everyone with him to hell he possibly can. And if he can't keep you from heaven, or then he wants to wash out your witness and keep you from impacting others. We are victorious in battle. We can be victorious over sin, victorious over temptation. We can be victorious over fear and anxiety and discouragement. We can be victorious over demonic attacks. Anything the devil throws at us, we can walk in victory. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church. He says, now thanks be to God. Notice what he's saying. I'm thanking God. What is he thanking him for? Thanks be to God who 50% of the time, sometimes, most of the time, always, all the time, leads us in defeat. Well, I can't hear you. Say it again, louder. Triumph. God always leads us in triumph. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Do you realize as we walk in the power of God, in the might of God, that we are bringing the knowledge of Jesus everywhere, and it's like an exquisite perfume or cologne. I mean, we carry the scent of Jesus everywhere. I was driving home the other night, and I passed a creature that had gotten squashed on the road. It was black and white. Woo! That skunk, yeah, that really smelled, you know, dead skunk in the middle of the road, stinking the highway. Yeah, that's what it was. And here's the thing. The devil wants you and I to live such a defeated life that there's no joy, no peace, no hope, no love, no life, that even though we're going to heaven, we're miserable, and instead of having a beautiful fragrance, we stink like a skunk. And people say, man, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I don't want anything to do with that. God wants to diffuse the fragrance of Jesus. We need some good spiritual deodorant in our lives. That we put it on, that armor of God, so the stench of the sinful nature is gone, and we're walking in Christ-likeness, and we're always in triumph. And Jesus can help you. It says he's mighty in battle. What's the fight you're fighting today? What's the struggle? What's the problem? God is able. God is here. God is with us. He is able. He is our mighty God. He's our Redeemer. He is our healer. He's the Lord Almighty, not partially mighty, Almighty. He is our defender, our Savior. He's our King. We serve a mighty God, and there is nothing too difficult for him. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 47, verse 1 and 2, well, by the way, for those who are wondering what the last blank is, God always, he always leads us in triumph. Psalm 47, verse 1 and 2, it says, oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is awesome. He's a great king over all the earth. I love how the Message version says this. Take a look at it on your screen. It says, applause, everyone. Bravo, bravissimo. Shout God's songs at the top of your lungs. God Most High is stunning. Sing songs to God. Sing out. Sing to our King. Sing praise. He's Lord over the earth. So sing your best songs to God. How many of you are fighting a battle right now? Raise your hand high. Put it up high. I want you to look around. Look at all the people that are fighting, okay? You're not alone. There are several. This morning, we're going to do what Psalm 47 says to do. That says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God. Sing God's songs to the top of your lungs. Because he is our mighty king. Nothing is too difficult for him. He has the power to create things in your life. He has the power to fight for you and always lead you into triumph. So he's worthy of praise today. He is worthy of our praise. No matter the battle you're fighting, friends, you can have God's love and his power in your life.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.